I might get Oscar Weekly.
It's MMO Weekly.
Welcome back, my friends. The show that comes to you once weekly. It's the best part of your week, the Hollywood week that was and the Hollywood week to come. This is Mike, and Oscar, as the intro song told you. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host, also Mike.
Also, Mike, a huge week in the movie world.
Which is ironic because nothing came out, right? Like, we're going to get to that in our box office update, but big week for award junkies like ourselves. Big week for the Oscars lead-up, which is why you guys come to listen to us, and we're going to get to all of that and more. Let's start like we usually do, though, as we try to have just casual conversation. My part of this is going to be short, because I can answer what I've been watching relatively simply.
Go ahead.
Nothing. I have not watched things outside of, like, you know, awards races.
Well, we've been reviewing. Yeah.
Right, and just different people's lists and rankings and the absurd drama that we've had over what's going on with the Oscars host, which is our big news of the week. Mm-hmm. So that's been my intake of media for the week. What about yourself, Mike? What have you been watching?
I've watched a whole lot of movies.
You have, yes.
I have.
Bodied, it's good for one of us, too.
Bodied that rap battle movie on
YouTube. Oh, you watched
that? Brutal commentary about free speech of all kinds, about politically correct culture, and of course, rap battling, and how that's been moved into the modern age here. You know, these characters are rounded, to say the least. They're very flawed. They have a lot of dimensions. They're characterized to the nth degree, Michael. This is a definite morality tale. It is certainly a satire. It just entertained me like crazy. I'm cringing throughout it. But I come away with a high grade, B+, 87.
Awesome.
Super intense, made me laugh a bunch. It is not for the faint of heart. And if you like short circuit when you hear bad language or short circuit when you hear them say something effed up, this might not be the movie
for
you.
Then we probably sent you into seizures long ago.
But it's very, very thought-provoking and, like I said, a morality tale. It's like a fable about this guy who goes and says horrible shit and gets famous for it after going through trials and tribulations.
It's something we previewed, I should say, in one of our monthly previews. It's the executive produced by Eminem. He's behind it, and it's certainly we landed that it's kind of like a niche that has not been explored all that much. This battle rapping place outside of like the movie of 8 Mile or some of the documentaries that come out. Like, this is something that needs to.
It's a world we don't get to see very often.
Exactly. And so I imagine it provides itself well to a cinematic take.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It was really a fun watch. Another good watch was We the Animals, Michael, another movie we've
seen a lot of stuff about this on Film Twitter.
We previewed a bunch. Very ambitious, very emotional. I have 4 younger brothers, so it reminded me of our childhood summers just screwing around in the backyard. We had shirts on more often than these kids. They went without.
Which is odd because you're topless right now.
It's very cold. I hope not. No, that's a behind the scenes nugget. No, my nipples are not super hard. I'm not shirtless right now. Thank you to me.
I'm glad you cleared that up for us.
Yeah,
listeners.
No, you're lying.
We'll see you guys later.
But there's a ton of great scenes and performances in this movie, We the Animals. Documentary filmmaker Jeremiah Zagar makes one hell of a smash narrative feature debut here with this one. Very personal. I have a ton of respect for this movie.
So this is a document I've seen I don't know anything about it. It's an actual movie. It's not a documentary.
Yes. It's basically like a coming of age story about a 4 brothers who are the same age. They're in a working class family. The parents have a lot of strife between one another. It's kind of a rocky
Their foster mother gets killed at a convenience store. Mark Wahlberg has to fist fight someone in the tundra.
No, not exactly.
All right.
But it's really a good movie. A remarkably shot. Just the way the movie ends. I mean, the cinematography is phenomenal.
Yeah, like so. I said, a lot of stuff about that one on Film Twitter. Glad you got around to it because I don't know that I.
Yeah, it's
I
on VOD now. VOD now, We the Animals. The Price of Everything is now on HBO On Demand, Michael. This movie freaking depressed me. It is well done. It's a documentary about
this is the art house
modern
one, yes?
art world and how
I
much,
will be seeing this one.
How much all of these prices of art, all these scribbles and smashes and splashes of paint go onto canvas and then get sold for millions. The insane thing is they show a lot of these artists at work. And the artist is just like, da-da-da-da-da, splash of paint. And then I'm thinking,
here's $800,000.
Then they have an auction scene the next very next sequence there, and it's just about them selling it for, you know, seven figures.
Did you see the spoof, or whatever you want to call it, that Payless Shoes did last week?
No.
This was very famous, and it actually made the world news.
I was watching movies, Mike.
Fair point. Payless Shoes held this event for all these social media influencers and all these big names and stuff. And they were like, I forget the name of the shoe company they made, but it was like this boutique, this high-end, upscale boutique.
Right.
Nobody knew it was Payless Shoes, filled with Payless Shoes. So they had all these influencers come in and they're like, what would you pay for this shoe? What would you pay for this shoe? And there were all these influencers and all these wave makers and stuff. Oh, I would pay $400 for this pair of shoes. Uh-huh. I would pay $600 for this pair. And then finally, at the get to the cash register, the curtains pulled back and like, these are all Payless Shoes.
So it's kind of like what McDonald's did with the chicken sandwich. Oh, this must be from this food truck. This rare food truck. Yes. That's right.
Right. You know, except I think it was Burger King. I don't think you want to get your cross promotion there wrong.
I thought it was wrong. The new. No, I'm pretty sure I'm right. It was the new crispy chicken because I went to McDonald's.
This started as a high society, high culture analogy. And has devolved into the chicken sandwich.
God damn it! Wonderful at McDonald's. But
the point being that there's these high marks, these tent poles that make you cultured or whatever, high society is the only word that comes to mind about it. It seems so fraudulent and so based in nothingness.
The barbarians are at the gate. They said it at the end of the movie. It's just like our society must be doomed, right? If these prices are true.
That's what it seems like, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. So the trailer says it all. Go watch our trailer. We previewed it on Oscar Trailers. It's on HBO right now. The Price of Everything. The other two movies I watched, Boy Erased and Lizzie. Boy Erased, I saw in theaters. This is Lucas Hedges, the Pray the Gay Away Camp movie from Joel Edgerton. Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman are the parents.
I don't hate my father.
Awesome performances. And I was shocked to see that the on-the-nose dialogue from the trailers was not in. I mean, it was in the movie, but it really flowed well.
Doesn't play an important
role. I'm very happy with this movie. Again, scene to scene, this is extraordinary. It's a chilling story. It freaks me the hell out. And I have issues with the story a little bit in terms of the characterization because some of these characters are without any flaws whatsoever. You know, I mean, and that's fine. You know, you're championing the right people. And in my mind, it's just that doesn't really work in a story. You know, when you have
I've seen nothing but decent reviews about this one, but I can't help but think. I think the studio mishandled this one with the promotion.
Well, Lucas Hedges is thoroughly likable, thoroughly sympathetic, thoroughly right and righteous in every scene. And I agree with him in every scene. But where's his, like, flaw? Like, I understand what he's coming up against.
Okay.
But the writer who's that character wrote a movie about himself doing all the right things.
Right.
And that's just like, okay, I'm glad that we're pointing out this wrong and
tell your journey. Yeah,
tell your journey. Yeah. But you know, we got to be a little more honest. Right. I think I don't know what his flaws are. I don't know. I'm just as a screenwriter. I know you got to have a flaw. Right,
it's hard to relate to somebody. Right, I mean that's all about relatability to the characters. It's hard to relate to somebody.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly in Lucas Hedges' corner in this movie, and Joel Edgar and everybody else is just, you know, a nightmare in terms of the type of characters they are. But we may do an Oscar Sprint profile on this down the line. We'll see if it gets nominated. He did get nominated at the Globes, Lucas Hedges.
He did,
and you know, we'll see. Lizzie Michael,
heartbreaking.
I was very disappointed with this. This is the Lizzie Borden serial killer movie with Chloe Sevigny and Kristen Stewart. Thank you, Michael. I forgot their names. But another movie with characters that I totally root for. I root for them.
You're rooting for Lizzie Borden.
Absolutely. 100%. Whole movie. Rooting for them like crazy. Hating the other characters with a bloodlust that I haven't had in watching a movie in a long time.
Is that a good job by the other characters? Or is that a good job by the screenwriting? Is that a good job by Chloe Sevigny?
It's an effective job by everybody involved. But, Michael, I shouldn't be rooting for people to kill other people.
It depends how you feel about your family.
In a massacre. And we said this back when we previewed it. Like, I'm watching this. I'm like, are they just going to champion the killers?
Well, that's how it certainly was presented, is that this is from the POV of Lizzie the victim. and right. not Lizzie the murderer. So again, it doesn't surprise me to see you have that reaction.
You have Lizzie Borden, and you can't find a flaw in a 2-hour movie. I get it. It's composited storytelling, right? You can't go true to life. You know, the true story takes how many volumes of a novel to really, you know, characterize. But you're telling me Lizzie Borden, who would cross this line and murder her family with an axe, is somebody that doesn't have a flaw in a 2-hour movie? Are you kidding me?
Is the rhyme anywhere in the movie?
I don't remember.
No, Lizzie Borden had an axe, gave her father 40 whacks, and then when she saw what she had done, she gave her mother 41. That's not anywhere to be.
There's 40 whacks. Let's just say that.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's kind of a harrowing finale, let's just say, and I'm into the momentum of it all. I can't get my.
I'm very jealous, and I think I need to stop doing hard drugs because I don't know where my free time goes to watch these movies. I don't. That's a joke, but I'm jealous that you have all this intake and you're getting to all these movies that we've previewed. And certainly, Boy Erased aside, that's kind of an Oscars related one. But right. but all the Body, that's probably not going to compete for any awards. Lizzie not going to compete for any awards. We the Animals might, but anyway, it's just these movies that we've previewed, and this is why you should check out our monthly previews. They certainly do strike interest and intrigue, no matter what type of film digester, I'll say, you are, what kind of audience member you are.
I definitely consume voraciously the movie world. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I caught that one too. Loved it. We're going to have an Oscar Sprint profile for you soon, whether it's end of this week, early next week, so stay tuned on that.
Yeah, you saw an advanced screening of that, like a real critic.
I'm really happy that I did too.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
100% movie. On Rotten Tomatoes right now still.
I think it dipped to 99. I just
checked. Oh no! Is that true?
Check that out. No. We'll get that critic's name down and we're going to shout him out, whoever that was. But Michael, we're going to get back to our 6 degrees of MMO here.
Run us through it. What was it this past two? It was a 2-week layoff, right? Yes. We didn't do it last week. We had the pick and pitch, the new game last week, thanks to my unbelievable Photoshop skills. Am I a professional? We'll never know. No, it's not for me to say, but yes.
The round 7 challenge was Barry Jenkins to Larry Bird. This seemed like an impossible challenge, Michael.
Those old pals.
Our teammates, film really. Twitter and our friends and listeners had something to say. So some honorable mentions here. A first one comes from a familiar name. A podcast about something at APA something said Barry Jenkins in Moonlight to Mahershala Ali, who was also in Moonlight.
Yes.
He was in Predators with Walton Goggins. Walton Goggins was in Ant-Man and the Wasp with Paul Rudd, who was in Captain America Civil War with Scarlett Johansson, who was in Lost in Translation with Bill Murray, who was in Space Jam with Larry Legend, Michael. A lot of those are fun movies.
Roger Moore of Movie Nation is the lone critic to give Spider-Verse a bad review. Just want to get that out there. It is a 99%, but anyway.
Anyway, how about a podcast about something, as I won't change the tone of my voice for your procrastinating ass. What do you think about it?
I think I'm surprised.
Bill Murray and Space Jam, Mike.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I would think Space Jam would be the most recited movie, most recited link. And we'd actually, thankfully to the creativity of our listeners, we didn't get a whole ton of Space Jam. I was prepared as this one came in. I was like, people are going to take the easy way out of this, aren't they?
Yeah.
But no, it didn't happen. But this one was used well. Who doesn't love Space Jam? And the fact that we actually had the rules in motion for Space Jam 2 now seems to be a real thing. And LeBron James is going to be involved. I actually don't even remember Larry Bird in Space Jam outside of the one scene.
Well, he was just laying on his back, right? You know, just on the ground there and couldn't come in.
All I remember is Bill Murray.
I don't remember.
I didn't even pick up that you made a joke there. Good Lord.
He had a bad back in the early 90s.
All I remember is Bill Murray saying, Larry's not white. Larry's clear.
Oh, God. Mike, Robert Doherty.
Oh, yeah, Robert Doherty started off, again, Barry Jenkins directing Mahershala Ali. In Moonlight, Mahershala starred with Viggo Mortensen in Green Book, so he's really preaching to the Oscar-type connections we had.
Yes, sir.
Green Book of Viggo Mortensen was in History of Violence with Maria Bello.
Oh, I love that movie.
Maria Bello was in Ellen with Ellen Green in The Cooler. I've never seen The Cooler, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Ellen,
it's like us in gambling, pretty much.
Sounds right. Ellen Green was in Little Shop of Horrors with Bill Murray, who, again, Larry Bird, Space Jam. So there's that Space Jam connection that I thought we were going to get a ton of.
Space Jam, Bill Murray again, Mahershala Ali again. So nice job. At RobertDoc1984 on Twitter.
He's another repeat submission.
Yes,
he does a great job.
Does his 6 degrees very well. Another repeat is Dare Daniel Movie Podcast. At Dare Daniel Pod, he said Barry Jenkins was born in my Miami. Miami is the same state as Orlando.
Love this.
Orlando is the home of Disney World. Disney World has a secret society named 33. And 33 was the number worn by Larry Bird.
Dear Daniel, I wanted you to win this week, but I got overruled. I want that on the record. That 33 That's Secret fun. Society.
What is that, Mike?
It's a real thing. I thought they were making up, but it's if you go, the Hollywood Reporter has an article from 2013 I was reading about the Secret Society of 33 Club in Disneyland, not Disney World. Uh-huh. And apparently Guillermo del Toro is a member of it.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to ask our buddy R.L. Terry about that one because he's covering the amusement parks all the time. Anyway, Michael, the winner this week, or co-winner, if we made it.
It's the winner this week. Go on.
All right, go ahead. Ben Miller at Neb is Ben.
And listen, this is a guy that's hanging up the, this is his swan song. Yeah, the first three-time winner. It's nobody's fault but our own, and I think that Ben Miller is just a long-lost brother of ours because he just gets what we're looking for in this game.
Absolutely.
He said he's retiring. I will not let that happen. I will keep peppering him on Twitter with the 6 degrees.
Come on, Ben.
Because I need more of this, but yes.
Give us something here, Ben.
We have Barry Jenkins, directed If Beale Street Could Talk. Of course, Regina King is in If Beale Street Could Talk, who was also in Enemy of the State with Will Smith, who was obviously the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who once guest starred Don Cheadle.
Wow.
Who was in Avengers Infinity War with Tom Hiddleston, who did those interviewing kid commercials for AT&T with Beck Bennett, who also did the interviewing kid commercials for AT&T, and he did one with Larry Bird.
And he has YouTube videos to prove it,
Michael.
That's
it's not fair. It's not a professional playing amateur ball.
He may come back wearing the 4-5 at some point. But yes, Neb is Ben, at Neb is Ben. Ben Miller is retired for the moment, says, and we'll see if he comes back. But
three-time winner. Nobody's won it twice, and he's a three-time winner. Great job. And listen, great job, everyone else. At least you're getting a deeper understanding of our psyche for what we want to border on absurd as far as answers go for our 6 degrees. But let's do challenge number 8. Mike's going to roll out the red carpet. Here we go. And I can promise you this time, Neb is Ben will not win this round. You can submit, but we can't have you sweeping the category every time.
Okay, so we're trying to start an Oscar campaign here, Michael.
Damn right we are.
We're trying to start an Oscar campaign for Toni Collette. We've been basically shouting her out for a long time. It's an all-time great horror movie performance. We love the horror movie genre. We cover it like crazy. We did a two-part Hereditary Oscar sprint profile where we broke down the spoilers, where we were infuriated this week when she did not get a Golden Globe nomination for Best Actress in either category. I would have even accepted a comedy or musical nomination, Michael.
Or supporting actress. Her in a lead acting category.
What
Who
are
cares?
We doing? But basically, I am going to connect her to another one of our favorite all-time actresses. So have fun here to film Twitter. Bette Davis to Toni Collette is your challenge number 8.
We're going to have like one person be like, oh yeah, they shared the stage in like something about Mary's off-Broadway production.
Bette Davis had Toni Collette in her trailer during the Baby Jane reunion special.
It was Toni Collette who was talking shit about
where Bette Davis taught her how to make facial expressions for the camera.
Joan Crawford. You know, Joan doesn't really like you, Bette. Yes, a great choice. This is an also Mike special. Bette Davis to Toni Collette. One has won the Best Actress a couple times. One should win the Best Actress this year. Mm-hmm. I hope you're listening, Academy members. We'd love to hear your creativity. We'd love to see what you have in store for that. It's going to be a great change. I'm really excited about that. Make sure you submit those to us on any of our social medias, especially Twitter at MMNOscar. Use the hashtag 6degreesofMMO. We'd love to see what you come up with. And again, look, you've seen what wins. You've seen why Neb is Ben is a three-time winner. The more absurd you can get with it, the more off-kilter channels and mediums you can run through, the higher your chances
get
of
weird.
Success here. So yeah, definitely get weird and be proud of how weird you are with 6 degrees of MMO. Let's transition now. Let's do the story of the week. News. That's right, news of the week, and it is the biggest news story in a while as far as the Oscars are concerned. The upcoming Academy Awards, us being an Oscars podcast, we've been on top of this. So it was a big to-do recently in film Twitter land, and all the other outlets, the Hollywood Reporter, Deadline. It was getting to this point, boy, it's mid-November. We don't have an Oscars host. It's late November. We don't have an Oscars host. It's December now. We don't have an Oscars host. Finally, this past week, we thought the void had been filled. We thought the Academy, of course, first reported by Scott Feinberg of the Hollywood Reporter. I retweeted it, and he got the news out there. Somebody else may have had it first, but he's the first place I saw that Kevin Hart was in negotiations with the Academy,
right,
and it turned into a formal offer. Kevin Hart accepted the hosting role for the Academy Awards. Bully for him. Yay.
Everybody was happy about that.
At first, he
did a nice job with the Justin Bieber roast. He's awesome on stage. He's awesome in movies, but he's awesome on stage in terms of, his comedy shows are just, he goes to 11. He sells out stadiums. This man can handle
bonafide superstar, yeah,
of an audience.
Now, we should have probably seen there was some badness coming, because we ran a poll. Did the Academy make a good choice in Kevin Hart?
Mm-hmm.
We had 50-something votes, and it was a 55-45 split that,
wow,
no, they didn't make a good choice, which kind of confused me, and I thought it was just chalked up to the, you know, people getting long in the tooth with Kevin Hart shtick, as they do with anyone else. Dane Cook was hot for a while. People got sick of Dane Cook shtick. Louis C.K., people got sick of his shtick before we found out that he was a monster. So it happens with stand-up comedians. I just thought that was the fallout of that, but it turns out, no. Billy Eichner was actually one of the first ones that I saw on Instagram calling this out, that Kevin Hart had some tweets pop up that he made homophobic remarks back in 2011, 2012,
right,
putting those online. Apparently the story went, and again, this was all part of the, you can find this on Film Twitter, you can find this on Hollywood Reporter, the story went that the Academy went to Hart,
mm-hmm,
and said, can you just apologize for these remarks? Apologize,
sure,
for putting these out there and just say you were sorry. If you don't, we're going to have to find another host. Now, it's not really that big of an ask, especially when you consider Hart's response, which I'll get to in a minute, but Hart ultimately declined that offer. He stepped down as Academy host two and a half days after accepting the job in the first place.
Right.
And now we are once again hostless for this upcoming Oscars show.
Aggravating story. Very frustrating. Kevin Hart did man up and apologize to a degree, correct, Mike?
Which is the most aggravating part of this for me, anyway.
Right.
Now, obviously, we are not we're not homosexual men. We don't have the mindset of being in that and having those words and those jokes affect us like that. We can't relate to that, but we can relate to being offended. And anytime somebody says something that really speaks to your core, that offends you like that, I don't think it's a big ask to ask for an apology, especially if it's someone,
sure,
famous.
I just love the response from GLAAD, you know, that
yeah,
the organization there, that where they basically said, like, they would rather he take advantage of the opportunity to emulate this change in thinking that most people are adopting now the country over. I mean, we've seen polls where even most Republicans are okay with, you know, it's surprising to say, but even they're okay with same-sex marriage, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the country is changing, and GLAAD was like basically saying, like, we forgive this man, we forgive him, and we will forgive him, and he should take advantage of the opportunity to host this award show, apologetic for what he said in the past, an example of being a changed man, and not just kind of resort to the quote-unquote, all right, this guy is publicly shamed for a news cycle, which is a nanosecond nowadays, but publicly shamed for a news cycle, and then he's got to go wither somewhere in disgrace for a while. But no, let's have him out front of this, and let's have him be apologetic and us forgiving him, and let's get past it. And I love that response from GLAAD, and yet he still backed away. I get it from his perspective too, though. Like, you think about his PR people, like, how does he go and be funny for 2 hours and he just feels like crap over this? I don't know. I don't know Kevin Hart, obviously, but, you know, I wonder if he thought he couldn't do his job after this came out.
It's just a weird, and the way he handled the apology, non-apology, whatever you want to call it. Here's the quote from, I just got a call from the Academy. He said this, I think, on a Facebook Live post. I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. I chose to pass. I pass on the apology.
So he didn't apologize.
He says he didn't apologize because he had apologized so many times previously, which to me is like, It's never a bad thing to say, look, however many times you have to say it to get the message across, people change, people evolve. What was acceptable in the past may not be acceptable anymore.
Glad is coming out forgiving him.
Right. It's just such a layup to me. I don't understand. And you think about the ramifications as to what this may have in his career. Now he's going to be the guy that just couldn't apologize to the LGBTQ community.
It's just such a bad look.
Yeah, the risk reward doesn't weigh out at all. There's no upshot to taking this stance.
He's already apologized 100 times.
Right. It makes no sense to me.
All right, so we're left without a host now. Collider ran an article about, you know, Jeff's picks for who should host next. A lot of great names involved there.
Yeah, Jeff Snyder had a nice piece about it, wrote down a bunch of things that he would like to see. One of the first ones he saw was Leslie Jones and Drake. I thought that would be it'd be funny. I mean, it'd be a hilarious pairing.
I would like to see, just for, you know, personal reasons, I would like to see an up-and-coming comedian like a Leslie Jones, a Kate McKinnon, who's a star already. They're stars already, but let them go into the stratosphere and let this Oscar hosting gig take them to another level. Like, if we had Awkwafina or Tiffany Haddish, if they took the job, right? Think about Awkwafina and Tiffany Haddish. The job. They're already big stars, but now they're world recognized. Now they're just in the stratosphere. And let's allow this hosting gig to do something positive.
Yeah.
Can't that work?
I think it has to be, you're onto something in that it would do something positive. You have to turn this into a moment of hope.
Right.
Now, you have to. You have to have someone that you can propel into the next level like that.
I just think
will benefit a lot.
Change the expectations. Give it to a rising star so that they can just go out and do a great job and be, you know, introduce themselves to the world, right? And they've introduced themselves to many, the country, but not to the world yet. Let's have some upside with the hosting gig.
Yeah, I don't disagree. There's been a lot of rumors and momentum to their ABC's just going to kind of crumble and ask Jimmy Kimmel to come back and do it.
But if you give it to Kimmel, you give it to Ellen, who's job before, who've done well, but then, you know, everybody's in the critique them mode.
Yeah.
But if you give it to somebody who's an up-and-comer, maybe everybody will just be, it'll change expectations.
I don't know that it fits your up-and-coming model. I would love to see some combination of, like, Scott Feinberg again suggested we have different hosts doing 1 hour each, which I thought was really unique.
That's cool.
I would love to see some combination of, like, Patton Oswalt get an hour, Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon get an hour, John Krasinski, Emily Blunt get an hour.
Yeah.
Some kind of combination like that. I would love to see, because you're right, you do have this opportunity here where this spotlight is so big and can do so much good for someone's career, or obviously so much bad if you're Kevin Hart and you fumble it improperly. Mm-hmm. I do think there's a very volatile stage here that can help someone immensely, as much as it could hurt someone if you handle it wrong.
Could it go to Disney personalities, Disney actor-actress combo like Chris Pratt and Kristen Bell, someone like that, Michael?
One of Jeff Snyder's also, he had all the four Chrises, Chris Pratt, Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, one of the Chrises, or all four Chrises.
Yeah, all the four.
No, I mean, like, do we get like someone who Disney says, all right, if you want to keep making another 10 movies with us, you got to do us a favor here?
Seen a lot of Robert Downey Jr. out there that could fit that mold, yeah. So, yes, anything is possible, right? I don't think Kimmel would take it. I think the fact that they haven't asked Kimmel back yet, and the narrative for the show itself has been that ratings have been declining the last 2 years. I think he kind of takes that as a personal slight, which I don't blame him. I think they are kind of, I think he's been scapegoated a little bit for that. So I can't imagine him accepting the gig for a third time to bail them out. I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as anyone else's, but I 1,000% co-sign with your idea that let's use this for a force of good. Let's recover from this awful situation, because that's what this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Kevin Hart, this is terrible. The fact that you cannot man up and say, I screwed up, I'm sorry, I know what happened then, cannot and will not ever happen again, to a whole sect of people when your outreach is millions upon millions, and you could affect untold number of lives with any tweet. You know, I think that's so short-sighted. So let's use that as something for good.
Now, we have established, hosts before, like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Maybe they, at the last minute, swoop in and save the day. I know they're NBC people, for the most part.
Yeah, but I think it'd be a great you know, not that they personally need the stage. I don't know that it would fit your young person narrative. Like
no, it doesn't. But at least you have established stars. Right. They'll do a great job. Everybody knows they'll do a great job.
Oh, they'd be awesome. They did it on the Golden Globes a couple times. They absolutely killed
They're
it.
They're not doing the Globes this year, so maybe they would swoop in. I don't know. We need a hero. We need a hero to the morning light.
And that's why it's going to be Christian Bale as Batman hosting. Yeah. Oh, no, Mike, seriously.
With the Batman voice.
Seriously, Gundyr.
And the Oscar goes to.
Not who do you think, but if you had your pick and money was no object and you were the Academy, who are you? Who's your first phone call going to?
Aquafina and Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's a really great pairing.
I mean, Tiffany Haddish did it last year. She announced an award with Maya Rudolph, and that was like the funniest part of the show.
Yeah, we laughed our asses off. Yeah, she was great. She's hosted something recently. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
she'll improvise. I mean, she'll do her thing.
That's the thing too, and it's a point Snyder made in his column. You do need someone that's used to being in front of a live audience, right? It shouldn't be their first time. Haddish has done the hosting gig before. Awkwafina just came from SNL not that long ago. She's used to it.
It's still a much smaller room. Sure. I wonder if, like, Awkwafina, she's just become a huge star this year. Yeah, she's played some big comedy shows, but can she handle that? I don't know. I mean,
who knows?
It's hard to say, but I would like to see her
try.
Yeah,
no, I'm with you.
And if she knocks it out of the park, now you got a new star. Let him host for the next 5 years.
I'm with you. I'd still love to see Patton Oswalt get some kind of dude there, too.
You have good press for a change. Damn it.
Yeah. No, listen, your idea, I totally co-sign. I think it's a great idea. I think it's one the Academy could benefit from. Turn this negative into some kind of positive.
Right. Anyway, we were going to have a trailer breakdown. We hoped for Spider-Man Far From Home. That is still delayed, Michael. They did show the trailer at CCXP. Jake Gyllenhaal was interviewed. You can see those clips online. You can't really see the trailer online as of this recording. We're recording it at 1:20 on Sunday afternoon. So if it breaks, maybe we'll get you something quick.
If it comes out at like 5 a.m. on Monday morning, you're SOL. This is your episode, all right? Stop yelling at us.
But basically, next MMO Weekly at the very latest if it comes out within the week. But we may at the front of Spider-Verse if we can get that done for you. We'll review the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer at some point this week.
And if you need your Marvel trailer breakdown thirst quenched, we did just do a whole episode. Yes. Breaking down both the second Captain Marvel trailer and, of course, the first long-awaited, much-anticipated Avengers Endgame, which is the official title, Avengers Endgame trailer, the first one. We actually went kind of deep into what we think is all the meanings are, including the music. I was really proud of us. We actually did a good job. We had one episode out of 160-something where I felt really
good
about it.
You feel good about it. All right, good. All right, so we got a box office update,
Let's do the box office report. All right, what are we talking about here for box office numbers?
Ralph Breaks the Internet, third week in a row. Again, you know, a dormant week for new releases. Schindler's List was re-released. We had a bunch of indie films. Mary Queen of Scots, Vox Lux, Ben is Back. They did okay, but they're only hitting 4 or 6 theaters.
And they got beat up, too, for the most part,
critics. Beat up critics. They went down from 80s down to 60s, down to late 60s and early 70s Metascores. They were all 80s, like last week.
Right.
We were excited about Mary Queen of Scots with a 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. Fell down a cliff there. We're very upset, but we did have, you know, these animated films making crazy money yet again for a third week in a row. The Grinch, second place with 15, Creed 2 with 10 million, Fantastic Beasts, 6 million, Bohemian Rhapsody, 6 million in fifth place. So the top five basically was chalk.
Surprisingly, this weekend, at least in the last 5 years, has kind of been there hasn't been a lot of momentum. This year it did 77.798 million total for box office. It's been about that number. It's hung around that 70 some odd million for this weekend in December, and it's also been the weekend where you get like the second or third week in a row of Moana being the top of the box office office this year. It happened with Moana, Coco last year, so this is kind of what this weekend has turned into, which I am just as surprised as you. I thought there would be all kinds of fertile ground here for a movie to get released. You'd at least have that 2 week, 3 week lead up until all the big Christmas releases.
I wonder if they thought they were too far out from the Christmas releases, like they'll be overtaken by the
Christmas
release.
Yeah, but what is Welcome to Marwen gain from being released on Christmas as opposed to being released, you know, like that's not something that's gonna.
It had a window here, right? I mean, it's nothing big coming on Netflix going into this past weekend, right?
Right.
Dumplin' is coming out this week, so is Roma. You had NFL Sunday, okay, but you always have an NFL Sunday in the fall. You had no college football. Yes, high school football, they're playing their state championship games around this time, at least they are in our state. But for the most part, you don't have anything to compete with.
Yeah, I'm with you. I again, you have kind of a 3 week window until the next giant big push of movies. We got stuff we're going to talk about those coming out wide this week. And there is more important stuff as we get closer to Christmas, but still, you had this opportunity this weekend sitting here, and it's actually been sitting here for 5 years now with no relevant, huge new opening.
They must have gotten burned in the past, Mike. That's all I can say.
It got to be true. It must be something about this this weekend that the market research says doesn't work. But let's talk about some Do You Care stuff, and let's talk about the recent upcoming releases. Let's break it down in song first. I know Grammy nominations just came out. I can't believe I wasn't there, but all right. Yeah, fine. No
snubbed.
Big deal.
You got snubbed.
Let's talk about Do You Care? This is where we get to ask about different news stories going on in the week and ask each other if we do care or should care or will care about them. We'll start here. Michael, the long anticipated. I can't wait. No. Mortal Engines.
Nope.
New releases this week. Mortal Engines coming out to 3,000 plus screens. The Mule debuting to 2,400 plus. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse finally goes wide on 3,400 plus screens. We have Capernaum, The House That Jack Built, If Beale Street Could Talk, and The Wedding all seem to be smaller art house releases, and The Favorite will be expanding into more theaters as well. Tell me what I do, don't, or should care about here, Mike.
I care about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in terms of those wide releases. I'm very happy movies like Capernaum are going to start coming around. Shoplifters just came to us. I'm going to go see that soon. If Beale Street Could Talk, can't wait for that one. The Mule, I'm so sick of that trailer. I saw it yet again this past week, and I'm just dying inside every time it comes on. I just want to go,
oh! It has gotten a little long in the tooth.
I'm done with that same gosh darn trailer. It might be a great movie. I don't know. I'm sick of the trailer.
Well, it hasn't gotten any rewards recognition.
The House That Jack Built. No
yes.
way.
Yes,
no,
baby.
No. So, Michael, what about these releases do you like?
The House That Jack Built. No. I am interested to see The Mule. I think it's an interesting concept. And again, I'm curious to see just how involved with the plot Bradley Cooper is as a supporting role. Obviously, like I just said, there's been no awards momentum for any aspect of it, really.
Right.
So I don't think that we're talking about a contender here. Mortal Engines. Oh boy. I'm curious as hell to see the box office.
Okay.
I don't have any interest in seeing this movie. No. I think it makes no sense. I think it is preposterous, and I don't know how it got greenlit. Peter Jackson, look, if you make money off this, God bless you, man. You certainly know how to make money lately, but I just don't get it. I do think The House That Jack Built is important. I don't think I'll see it. I think it's important for these kind of horror porn movies to at least be made. I think it's important as far as freedom of speech and freedom of expression goes. Other than that, Capernaum, yeah, I'm interested in. If Beale Street Could Talk, obviously we're going to do an OSP on it and get you caught up there.
Hopefully The Favorite expands to us soon.
And hopefully it's good enough. I mean, Yorgos getting snubbed for a Golden Globe was kind of surprising.
Very surprising. Yeah. Best director. Although it kind of got rectified with some precursors we'll have coming up. But more Do You Care, Michael, Kurt Russell's Christmas Chronicles on Netflix was watched 20 million times in the first week. That would equal a $200 million box office haul if it was released in theaters by those numbers. Do you care about this, Michael?
I care in that Netflix is releasing numbers somewhat. Okay. That's kind of off base for them and not something they always do. They certainly don't have a history or a habit of doing so. So I thought that was kind of revealing. If they're true numbers, which we have no reason to doubt they aren't, but we also can't verify, so who knows? It's eye-opening, isn't it? That a Kurt Russell as Santa Claus movie made $200 million, essentially?
Sure. Now, would it have made $200 million at the box office? No way.
No way.
Because
no way.
This is a movie on a platform that people are paying a relatively cheap price for, $10 a month, right? And it's basically there at $15 a month. It's basically there for free, right? Essentially, you know. So, okay, you can have this like on YouTube. Like, you can watch this YouTube video
right.
for nothing or for a very small amount of money if you look at a monthly subscription rate. Yeah, a lot of people are going to click on that, but if you charge them basically a $50 movie outing for them and their kids.
Well, what you're saying is that it shows the
availability.
Well, availability, but also the value of Netflix as an entity. And I think the biggest Kurt Russell headlining box office that's ever been done was Backdraft back in 91, making about $78 million domestically.
Mike,
so
would this movie make $20 million at the box office? Would it make a tenth of that?
No, but that's my point. Like, this is the fact, this is showing how much of the market Netflix is sitting on and owns. Like, they are revolutionizing, not that you need me to tell you this, but they're revolutionizing the way people take in movies and the way movies are made in general. Would it make $20 million at a regular box office? No, but the fact that it wouldn't kind of, it gives Netflix the availability to pour more resources into movies like this, right?
Right. Right. Then Netflix is sitting on a huge market share there.
So, Mike, Aquaman 2 apparently already in the works because DC is such a reliable entity right now. Do you care?
They have done this before. They have said Suicide Squad is in the works and another movie, Justice League. The next Justice League's coming out soon, blah, blah, blah.
Who needs Batman?
They've cried wolf before. However, the buzz for this movie is very positive. The new TV spots are really good. Like, we have amazing shots of the battles. It just looks like a visual stunner. They walked out the next four movies they're doing, Shazam, Joker, Birds of Prey, and Wonder Woman 1984.
Do you care about any of those? I
do care about those four movies. I'm intrigued by all four of them. Shazam had a fun Tom Hanks's big kind of, you know, premise there. I like that premise. Joker, Joaquin Phoenix looks terrifying. Birds of Prey is going to have Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie in it. I love that. And of course, Wonder Woman 1984, that looks like a terrific premise. I mean, we're dying for a sequel for Wonder Woman. So I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of liking what DC's doing lately. We have James Wan buoying up the Aquaman franchise now with very ambitious trailers. So let's see. Jason Momoa,
yeah,
make him a star.
I fall in line with you. I'm nothing but hopeful about it all. I have no reason to be down on it. And if critics are saying that this is the best one, last week on MMO Weekly, we went over some early reviews of Aquaman. A lot of reputable critics are very high on this.
Right.
So there is reason for hope, finally, in the DC expanded worlds, separate worlds, whatever their moniker is now, which they really got to get on top of because DCEU is so much easier to say and remember, but nonetheless, I'm hopeful. Shazam, I still am questionable.
Still not in on this.
I'm not in on Shazam. Like, what are you? Are you trying to be Marvel? Like, even Ant-Man, which is like the jokey jokes of the Marvel,
right,
the one for the kids, it still has an undertone of serious stakes,
but,
right?
Yeah.
You can still tell the seriousness in the trailers.
You still have sour grapes that The Rock's not in this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want The Rock.
I can't believe you didn't say you want The Rock to host the Oscars, by the way.
I think it'd be great, but I don't.
You don't need them there.
Nah.
All right, the last story here, Michael, and we do care about this one. We'll just say that up front. Congratulations to Clayton Davis of AwardsCircuit.com.
Yes.
And the Circuit Breaker podcast. He's an Oscars pundit that we've loved to follow over the years before we even had a show. And someone we certainly look up to since we started our own show.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the big announcement. The Latino Entertainment Journalists Association, LEJA, has formed under President Clayton Davis, owner of AwardsCircuit, in an effort to create a diverse voice in the industry for the Latino community. That's at latinojournalist.com, Michael. So we're very proud for him, of him, you know, that he interacts with us on film Twitter. We're very grateful for that. Thank
yes.
you. You know, thanks for acknowledging us. And also, you know, we looked up to you, man, for a long time.
Yeah,
I've been listening to Circuit Breaker well before we started our show.
This is really cool. It's really needed. Brie Larson came out, I think, in March or April.
Yeah.
Based on how A Wrinkle in Time was being viewed by the critics, it kind of got panned by the critics early on, and Brie Larson brought up, why aren't there more minority voices? This isn't a film for old white men, and it's kind of, since that moment, there's been this big momentum shift towards, we need more diverse voices in film criticism world. I think this is that's an absolutely true statement. This is an important step. Good on you, Clayton, for getting the ball rolling and taking the bull by the horns here and becoming the president and making this organization what it is. We're excited for it. We're excited for you, and I echo Mike's sentiments. Awesome job all around.
All right, Oscar race update time, Michael.
Yeah, let's get the drop.
The Oscar goes to...
And the winner is...
And the Oscar goes to...
The winner is...
The Oscar goes to...
MMOW's Oscar race update.
You had your work cut out for you this past week, so what'd you get here?
All right, thank God for Next Best Picture. On their right-hand column, on all their nextbestpicture.com posts, in terms of, you know, their precursor award articles, the right-hand column kind of summarizes,
okay,
category by category, who's won what. Thank you, Matt Neglia and company over there, for having this as a reference point. We use it you all should use it if you listen to MMO. They do a great job. So I was able to, you know, not get lost in this Mortal Engines city by city warfare of which critic group from Detroit versus which critic group from DC.
You successfully pulled off a Mortal Engines analogy, and I laughed at it.
I don't have to get lost in that, Michael, because I can go category by category from nextbestpicture.com. So, best picture, that category to start off here. Roma has 4, adding Philly and DC. We'll be reviewing Roma this week. It's coming to Netflix, Michael.
Yeah.
It's the leader in the clubhouse right now, still, in terms of the critical awards, because basically at this point in the award season, we have a lot of critics associations weighing in. Obviously, we have a few, you know, the major, you know, National Board of Review, etc., the other major associations weighing in as well, but it's mostly critic,
right.
Groups of critics and cities and Mortal Engines, and the favorite cleaned up at the British Indie Film Awards, so London has spoken.
No surprise.
Eighth Grade won a surprise Best Picture from Detroit.
So, great for Eighth Grade.
Yes.
I'm curious, though, if preferential balloting is still what we're doing, if Eighth Grade's even going to, if it makes the Best Picture field, I can't imagine it's a top 5 pick, so it's not even going to be able to really be voted on, right? And I would think if you take away or if you make the preferential balloting all 10 nominees.
Is it in our top fives, though? Can we think that enough people will have it in their top fives to where maybe this actually helps Eighth Grade? Because we talked about this before. Think about Moonlight. Not everybody saw Moonlight, but enough people put it in their top fives to give it a big number there. So actually, preferential balloting may help Eighth Grade in terms of the nominations.
So you're taking the positive spin on it again. You're just an optimist, and I'm just such a miserable old man. Yeah, or a contrarian.
But, okay.
Excited for it. Good for Eighth Grade, and I think it's worthy of... It should be winning some Best Picture races. I will say that.
And The Hate U Give won a surprise Best Picture from the L.A. Online.
This is kind of like the underground... love. A lot of people in Twitter are pushing for this and want to get more recognition on both the picture side and some of the acting categories as well.
The Chicago film critics, everybody loves their nominations. Favorite, First Reform, Hereditary, Roma, A Star is Born. People seem to like that Best Picture category more than what we had at the Globes, more than what anybody else has been picking lately.
Chicago and San Francisco, there was this big hurrah of, well, you got it right, because they came right on the heels of the Golden Globe announcement, right, which so many people had so many problems with.
AFI picked the top 10, Black Klansman, Black Panther, Eighth Grade, Beale Street, Favorite, First Reform, Green Book, Mary Poppins Returns, Quiet Place, Stars Born, Michael, and Roma. They're giving a special award to, AFI picks American movies, and Roma's a Mexican movie, and gave a special award to that one. We kind of like that list, I guess. It's not our list necessarily, even though I'd say Eighth Grade's in there, I'm happy with. So
The Quiet Place.
Black Panther's in there. Quiet Place again, yeah.
What is happening?
I couldn't even rewatch it, Michael.
It's a fine horror movie. If you're going to put a horror movie in there, you're putting Hereditary 10 times out of 10, aren't you? Is it just me?
Yes. Thank you, Chicago film critics.
Yeah,
anyway,
for real.
Best director, Alfonso Cuarón from Roma, added Atlanta and D.C. He now has 4 wins to his name. Barry Jenkins won Philly. Yorgos won the British Indies. Chicago nominated surprise Lynn Ramsey from You Were Never Really Here, the Joaquin Phoenix kind of revenge movie there that came out.
Taxi Driver 2018.
Yeah, it came out like February, March last year. It came out early. I may not be getting that right. They also nominated Paul Schrader from First Reformed. It made a lot of people happy, those two noms.
Yeah, but Paul Schrader is kind of it's the same problem I have with Sam Elliott. I mean, is that actually, could it win director this year? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't agree with Paul Schrader as director. I'm with him for writing.
Screenplay, I agree.
It's nice to see other people getting nominated.
It is.
Getting considered. Maybe it'll bump them
up.
It's
important to see Lynn Ramsey make headway in there, too.
Best actress, Toni Collette leads all comers, Michael, with 4 wins. She picked up...
Say it louder for those in the back!
Toni Collette picked up Detroit. She picked up L.A. Online. So there's hope, Michael.
There has to be. God damn you, Hollywood Foreign Press.
The critics like her. Maybe they can buoy her up. Maybe that 12% chance that she had after Globe nomination time will be enacted.
She'll have fingers, toes, eyes.
You'll draw the inside straight here.
Everything that I can cross is crossed right now.
Olivia Colman. Colman?
Yeah.
Or Olivia Colman.
Cleans it out.
Won Atlanta. Gaga won D.C. Viola Davis won Philly, Mike, for Widows. I'm surprised by that, but
Melissa McCarthy, huh?
We like her work. She doesn't seem to win anything, yeah. Melissa McCarthy. She's nominated for everything, just about, but it's surprising for how the American and Hollywood foreign presses seem to differ here.
No Glenn Close either in any of
Glenn
those.
Glenn Close got snubbed from Chicago, of all places, but I was surprised.
That's my
that.
Fear, in that something like Toni Collette will start on the upswing, and then the sacrificial lamb of this will be Glenn Close.
No, it shouldn't be.
I agree. I don't think it should be at
Everybody
all.
Really likes Melissa McCarthy. I don't think she's on par with either one of those performances. We'll review it.
I agree, yeah.
Best actor race, Michael. Ethan Hawke, the critical darling so far. He has now 5 wins to his name after Atlanta.
Interesting.
Christian Bale from Vice won Philly. Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, won D.C. Rami Malek from Bohemian Rhapsody won the L.A. Online, Michael.
Ethan Hawke is doing work on Bradley Cooper, which is kind of surprising to me. Yeah, Christian Bale only winning.
Neither of us see that either. We don't.
No,
like that.
No. I totally disagree. Christian Bale only winning one is kind of surprising as well, but we haven't seen Vice yet, so we'll report on that as we get to it.
Best supporting actress has a leader in the clubhouse for sure. It's Regina King from If Beale Street Could Talk.
You're going to know how this category goes come Critics' Choice time. You always do.
She dominates right now with 6 wins overall. Best supporting actor gave multiple awards to both Richard E. Grant from Can You Ever Forgive Me and Mahershala Ali from Green Book, Michael. And for the record, Detroit gave its award to Josh Hamilton from 8th Grade.
So Detroit's got some love for 8th Grade.
We have
like
some bias.
See. Yeah, I'm down with that.
But
you know,
it does seem to be a Richard E. Grant, Mahershala Ali.
No
for the
Chalamet.
Win.
No Chalamet, which is kind of surprising.
Nobody's seen Beautiful Boy, though.
That could be true, yeah.
If they seen it, they would be like, oh my God.
Yeah. I can't imagine Timothée Chalamet, who's an Academy favorite, playing a kid battling addiction like that, isn't getting serious consideration. That's very surprising at this point.
It's a hell of a performance. I think it's definitely on the level with Ali and Grant there.
Everyone said it was a 2-man race, and Richard E. Grant kind of muscled his way into making a 3-headed monster right now.
Adapted screenplay wins have gone to Hate U Give, Beale Street, and Can You Ever Forgive Me. Those seem to make some sense to me. I mean,
big year for adapted screenplay, and the Hate U Give getting wins. It's a big deal.
Original screenplay, First Reform has 4 wins right now. Favorite has 3, Vice 2, Green Book 1.
Again, probably not surprising.
Thank you, Next Best Picture, for that column. Right-hand column, thank God. Beale Street has 3 original score awards, but didn't get a Globe nomination, Michael.
Yeah, the weird. Globes are... A lot of weird stuff going on with the
Hollywood
Globes.
Hollywood Foreign Press has a different musical taste. We've known... We shouted out those stats in that last episode.
It's true. We did a whole breakdown of the Globe nominations. If you want to go back and look at those, we did our reactions. We had a lot of stats to back them up and some interesting perspectives as to where we think it's all going.
Yes, sir. Roma is dominating in cinematography, black and white style, with 6 wins, Michael.
It's pretty much chalk, right? I think everyone expected that.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse picked up 4 wins for best animated feature. Incredibles 2 has just 2, so... It looks like we're getting ourselves a race.
Yeah.
An animated
film. Good. How about that?
Now, if Disney's making money with its, you know, co-owning of Spider-Man, do they care? I don't know. Roma has 5 best foreign film awards to its name. Cold War has 2.
Yeah. Probably
makes sense.
Probably makes sense.
Won't You Be My Neighbor has 5 best documentary awards. Yes. Minding the Gap has 2.
Seems to be correcting itself, which is nice. Minding the Gap. So no Free Solo, no 3 Identical Strangers. Right. No RBG.
I could see why people love Minding the Gap. It's a very personal story. It's up close and personal with these kids' lives. It goes over like 5, 6, 7 years with these skater boys who go from skater boys to trying to get their lives together. It's on Hulu, very readily available for everybody to see. To me, it's not in the same level as Won't You Be My Neighbor still.
So you think they're just
as a tick above.
They're just skater boys and you're saying see you later, boys.
No, I liked Minding the Gap. I enjoyed that movie.
They're not good enough for you.
You
have a pretty face and their heads are up in space.
I can't believe you need them to come back down. Off the cuff.
To Earth.
I can't believe you have a recall for an Avril Lavigne song from our childhood, right?
I love Avril Lavigne.
Oh my God. You scare me. Anyway, thank you again, Next Best Picture. Go back to our Golden Globes episode. We have some big nominations coming out this week, Michael. Critics' Choice Awards, Screen Actors Guild Awards, Writers Guild coming out soon as well. It is a big week. We'll hit on it next MMOW, MMO Weekly there. And Roma and Spider-Verse, you'll get OSPs from us pretty soon.
Yeah, you're at this point now. Every week is just, it's massive news as far as shaping the Oscars puzzle and what the pieces are actually going to be.
Good
and
thing we got a weekly show.
It's almost like it's coincidence. As we lead up to the Oscar nominations, and we're going to be here all the way. We want to be your one-stop shop for all things award season and make it year-round for you. And this is the throes of the Oscar sprint. This is why we do what we do, and we hope you have just as much fun listening to it as we have breaking it down for you every week and pretty much every episode. And like Mike said, more OSPs to come, more special guests hopefully to come in the future, and more fun.
Yeah, Christmas movies, or they'll be that kind of fun. We did Muppet's Christmas Carol. Everybody seemed to love that. We got a ton of hits on that. Yes. And you know, thank you for that. And we'll have other Christmas movies. Maybe not this week, because we have a loaded schedule this week, but the following week we're going to do something there.
Get back to it, certainly. And we just trying to diversify our portfolio here. You know, we don't want to keep it all overly serious for her. We like to mix in some of the spirit of the season, because we're suckers, we're kids at heart still in a lot of ways ourselves, and we like to point out the overlooked Oscar performances in some of those Christmas movies too. Like we had a couple go back and listen to our Muppets Christmas one. We argued for a couple contending roles for that Oscars that year.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
All right,
Gonzo also loves chickens, which is a great meta joke.
Yes, it is. Guys, that's MMO Weekly for this week. Your second week of December is off and running. Hope you get through the work week, and good luck to you. Hopefully get off on the right foot. Mike, any final words of wisdom here?
Wisdom, Michael, is to connect Toni Collette in an Oscar campaign to the great Betty Davis. So get at us with those 6 degrees of MMO responses. Go at Ben Miller, at Neb is Ben. Make sure he doesn't win this one. The rest of,
yes.
I'm trying to stir it up a little bit.
I like
to the rest
it.
Of
I like
our,
it.
You know,
like a
audience.
Real professional book, wrestling booker. And Wisdom also would be connecting Toni Collette to a Best Actress nominee for the Oscars. Okay. Let's do that, Academy. You can reach out to us. Want to hear all your 6 degrees, questions, comments, concerns, and feedback for anything in the MMO universe that you have heard. You can reach out to us, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM, and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com, and on Reddit. We're available everywhere you hear podcasts. If you type in Mike, and Oscar, you should see our smiling Santa Claus faces waving back at you. You heard the words of wisdom. The week is off. The Oscar sprint is off. We're all running. Everybody's working for the weekend right now. Good luck to you and yours. Hope you have a good week, and we will check you guys out next time. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Mike, give it to him.
See you.